Blog Talk Radio.
Now, I'm not saying that the society is the only one to blame. I hope that's clear to you, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the society is to blame, and the society is of the bigger consequences. Therefore, the society is to blame first, and the society is to carry most of the blame. Most of the blame. The only blame these ignorant youngsters are to carry is the blame for their disrespect for their parents, disrespect for their good advisors, and most importantly, disrespect for their better conscience. And all of them register their better conscience at some moment or some split part of a second. I know they register their better conscience, and they ignore it. All of us don't fall victim to this world. No. We have youngsters who do without those sneakers that cost $80 and $90 and $100. Do without expensive clothes. Do without a lot of dollars, bills, big numbers, big bills to show. We have youngsters that do without that, make the sacrifice. They live common, they live poor, and they stay mall, and they respect their parents, and respect the intelligent support they get from other people. And they go to school, and they graduate. They don't have stuff to show off, like Air Jordans and whatever. They don't have that. They are the best of the people. They are the best of the youth. They are the ones that we should set up on Mount Everest. On the highest peak around. Set them up there and say, these are our super children. But at the same time, we should be aware that there is Satan and his hosts making war on all our children. And we are not to walk away and say Satan is too much for us to deal with. God says, fight Satan and his hosts, for his schemes are weak. How is this to be explained? Satan and his hosts comes through the weaker muscles of the human being. Yes, they come through the weaker muscles. They can't engage the stronger muscles, because the stronger muscles of the human being will reject Satan and his host. So they have to come to the weaker side, to the weaker muscles, to get into the human being. So his scheme is weak. That tells us that if we organize and increase, inform and increase those who will embrace the strength, we will have the power to overcome Satan and his hosts, because their side is naturally by nature weak, and our side is by nature strong. I never feared the immoral people. I never feared the sinful, criminal people. I never feared them. Something in my nature tells me that I have much, much more strength than they have. Much more. Something in my nature tells me that if I'm one in among against a lot of them, that I probably can defeat all of them. It doesn't mean physically. Not physically. They ain't going to be able to use these things. I'm going to communicate something to them that's going to make all this stuff just like a baby's arm. Now I'm telling you what I've witnessed. That's right, I've been among criminals. They don't make me fear, they'll put no fear in me. They look for fear, they're just like wild animals. A wild animal look for fear. And they look at me and they don't see any of that. And they just become just as sweet and human. And then they don't see any personal thing in me, you know, against them. Cause, no, I have compassion for them. And their soul registers that. The only one we can get is one that has actually consciously joined Satan. Now, you know, they call Satan by other names. We got our name for the devil. They call Satan by other names. You know, they don't know the one that we call Satan. They think it's a mystery or something. And the one that they obey in is the one we know to be Satan. Yeah, they're discerning. They're obeying the architects, the designers of evil upon the society of man. And when they consciously join them and identify with the evil system, whether they recognize the bosses at the top or not, they have then become Satans themselves. Ain't no correcting them. They have to be killed outright. And we don't have to kill them. All we have to do is strengthen the society for righteousness. Strengthen the society for righteousness and intelligence. That's what kills them. The more our light shines, the more it destroys them and their dark corruption. Not that I wouldn't have a physical confrontation or physical meeting with them. I sure most certainly would. Lord is my witness, I most certainly would. And I do believe I have enough brothers and sisters. Yeah. See, if we get serious, it's some high-level warfare. Yeah, it'd be just like it was on that day I came out of my house during the civil rights troubles on the streets, the social upheaval, as they call it. Demonstrations and brutal mistreatment from law enforcement many times. But sometimes, and this was a case, this was one of those times, our people just lost all moral sense. And just began to rampage and plunder, rob stores, own people too, set property afire. So it was one of those times in Chicago, on the West Chicago West Side. I worked out there. I was taking care of my family. And Henri Elijah Muhammad was denying me any benefits from the Nation of Islam. Which was all part of my growing up and getting prepared for what I had to do. had to make a man out of me all the way around, you know. So I'm going to work, and I know I got to feed Cheryl and our babies. I said they ain't stopping this work. So I asked him. You want to open tomorrow at work? He said, yeah, we open. He said, well, he said, I can't be responsible for your safety here, though. You know what's happening. I said, I know. I take the risk right along with you. I So I knew he had his stuff. I came with some stuff too. It sure wasn't going to be no martial arts demonstration. Intelligent and God-fearing and want to be decent, and something threatens your family, let me tell you, you can become a soldier that terrorize somebody. I'm telling you, yeah. So I came on a job, and the funniest thing I saw, I guess it was Allah telling me, this ain't that serious. Here the National Guard done brought a big tank. Got a tank at the corner near the job. Big old tank. The job was like a block and a half away. I had to walk like 2 blocks and a half to my job after getting off the transportation. So this big tank sitting out there, and when I get off the bus, I hear noises and running, and I see this, the young African-American brothers running, and one of them hollered, "Hey man, quite as serious." Now that told me something about our people. About our people out wearing those tams, you know, beret tams and stuff, and those boots and stuff, you know, and looking like soldiers, looking like, what they call them, the Green Beret or something. Paratroopers and stormtroopers and stuff, you know. They looking like they ready for everything. They did everything. And soon the man come out there with his high-power stuff. They stop playing cops and robbers. Cowboys and Indians, and reality dawns on. Hey man, why are you serious? And he was running. I walked right by the big tank. I went to my job, went right on my job, nothing happened, nothing. The day passed. Except for us aware of the problem, they have passed without incident. We're only aware of the problem outside. No incident at all. Next day, that area was so quiet, peaceful. I think there were no birds even flying around there anymore. I didn't look at the time here. I know my time is getting away. I don't want to wear you out. It's not often that I talk this long, you know. But it ain't often that we meet like this either. I hope to be finished in about 20 minutes. Yes. Now, let me address the Muslims very briefly and get back to the line of, the aim that I'm trying to reach with my talk today. The conclusion or the aim that I'm trying to reach with my address today. Just for a moment now, I want you to understand, I mentioned it earlier, that don't think because we now are on solid moral grounds and identify now in religion that's accepted by other religions or by other nations, I should say, the religion of Islam, the international community of Muslims. Don't think that we now, because we're in that, that our situation for surviving and prospering in this country has no problems anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God, to Allah, as we say in Quranic Arabic or in Arabic, thanks be to God that we now have thousands and thousands and multitudes of friends from the Islamic side and also from Christian side, and we have even in the among the Jews some real genuine friends now. But our enemies now are more enraged, they are more bitter than they ever were. They are more subtle than they ever were. And they are busying themselves behind closed doors as secret members of their society, working and planning how to block and abort our efforts for progress. Right now, I can say that we do have a better media, a better, more favorable press here in America for us than I've seen before. I've never seen it as good as it is now. But let me tell you why. It is because there's a strong element in the American media, the press, the whole media, radio, paper, newspapers, magazines, everything. There's a strong element there that have gotten first-hand knowledge of what we about. And they have gotten it from very admirable characters that have been in conversation with them, in touch with them. And also with me direct myself, personally. They have had conversations with, and they have asked us questions. And we have answered their questions. And they have been satisfied with the answers we've given them. And they trust that our community is being led by responsible leaders who are leading this community to the excellence of human life on this earth. They're convinced of that. And they themselves support that, and they themselves represent another community that stand for the same thing and trying to achieve the same thing for themselves and humanity at large. So because of that, we have now these good moral soldiers on our side. And they are in important positions in this American establishment. And even in the media. Even in the media. But they are outnumbered. But they are not cowards. They are not afraid. There was a time when the society and the press, or the media, was against us coming into full opportunity or equality in this country. But as the number of people in their own race who are situated in powerful positions in this society and in the press, as their numbers increase and as they begin to be correctly informed and begin to see the need to come to the side of the liberation or the freedom of black people, the more progress was made to bring the press to be more favorable toward blacks in this country. So you see, what I'm saying is this, that there have already been moral battles between the holders of power in this country. They've had to fight each other before. And those that supported the right won out against those that support the wrong. And again, we're in the same situation where our religious community is not desired by certain elements in the establishment. And they actually outnumber those who favor our community living and thriving and surviving in this society. But the moral strength is greater than the immoral strength. They can't come out openly. They have to work secretly. Right. The creeping crawlers, they can't deal with the competition when the sun comes up. So they know to go back under the rocks and things. Right? So that's the situation. They are put at a disadvantage. Surely the scheme of Satan is weak. So with the strength coming out, they can't deal with us in the daylight. No. They have to do their thing when the lights go out. So the more we keep the light on, the weaker they get. You know, the Klan. Looked like the Klan would have been finished. Where is the role for the Klan today? Any decent human being sees no role for the Klan on earth today. I never saw a role for them at all. I'm sure you didn't either. But given the division of the race, black and white race, the separation of the black and white races, and the difference in the makeup of the two people, and even the law, the nature of the law in this country and everything, favoring the whites, etc., then we could see the Klan having a role to do the dirty work for the most civilized white diggers. But I don't even see them having any role. But they're just hanging around. They're up under some rock. Waiting for the lights to go out. Now, I wanted to mention that to you and then come to something of the past to show you that the people today, they have inherited the enemies of Islam. I mean the big top enemies of Islam. Those who plan and work on it methodically, working to try to hurt us. They have inherited the work or the grievances and evil plans of their parents or forefathers. It doesn't stop. Dr. Hamuda Abdel Atif says in Islam in Focus, in explaining the meaning of the word Islam, points to, or says, that Muslims reject and also feel threatened by language like Mohammedanism and Mohammedans. Now, I remember a time when we would be called Mohammedans. That has changed over the last 30 years or so. All that's changed now. And I remember you can open a dictionary, and you still can, and find the word Mohammedanism for Islam. Now, why did they do that? Do you think those people who influenced the acceptance in the dictionary of that word for Muslims or for Islam didn't know any better? The ignorant people who pick it up a dictionary, they don't know any better. The people who get the word put in the dictionary, they know better. So this writer, Dr. Hamura Abdelatif, points to something that's very important for us to realize. That is that these things have not happened accidentally. This is intentional distortion of what we are all about. And they want to cheapen our religion in the eyes of innocent, intelligent people in their society, so that they just write off or dismiss us as a group of heathens or people who believe in an ism and not a revealed religion. Marxist teaching is called Marxism. There's no such thing as Christianism. But there is a term, Judaism. Why? Because Christians in this country used to hate Jews just like they hated us. But the Jew made himself so important, and he planned his future so well, that they had to give it up. They had to give up that thing they had set up for the Jews. But still the word exists, Judaism. Again, there's another explanation needed. There's a party of the Jews that don't care what you call them. The more incorrect you are, the more comfortable they are. Are they going to say I came out with something anti-Semitic? I love all my Semitic brothers and sisters. And I respect the religion of the Jews, and I respect the religious community of Jews. They have among them a devil, and that's not the only devil. And I didn't tell them anything. I told you that. They know it already. So, dear beloved Muslims, we are not just joining the Islamic world. We are making our debut upon the stage of Islam. And I don't think I have to say any more. I think you understand exactly what I'm saying. Therefore, we are not to hear things coming into the air, see things coming into the focus of the American people that's damaging to the correct understanding of Islam and Muslims, and not respond or answer those things ourselves.
End of side one. At this time, please turn the cassette over to continue in side two.
We are not joining the Islamic world and letting them do for the Muslim community or for the Islamic world everything, and we wait until they do it to join them. No, we are making an independent entrance into the world of Islam. And therefore, we accept responsibility for what affects all Muslims on this earth, to act ourselves without consulting anybody else. When we know what is correct for Islam, we act ourselves. We don't have to wait for somebody else to address the problem. So you, all of you, when you're informed and you know you're informed correctly, check those things that are incorrect. Do it with kindness. جَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And argue with them, confront them in debate, but in the way that is most intelligent and decent and beautiful. Don't be ugly. Don't be ignorant. Don't be insulting for no purpose except to just insult. If I insult somebody, I say, excuse me. It was necessary, but I didn't mean it. Yes, a lot of the language that I've used here today, it's insulting. It's hurting. It's going to be seen as an attack. But Allah is my judge. I mean no harm to anybody. I don't see anybody I want to attack. I just want to deal with falsehood, errors, and corruption. And I deal with it very, I would say, diligently. With care and concern for even the enemy. Because he is a human, or he had a human once upon a time. And can become human again by the grace of God. So see, I'm the kind of man that will respect the picture, even though the person ain't there. Praise be to Allah. See, you look like you in our image, so I got to respect what I see as our image. But I know there's a beast inside you. That our image is clothing a beast. I hope for the return of the person. So if I could be kind and forgiving and deal with the problem in a way to communicate to them that it's not personal. I like that expression in that movie. It's not personal. He said, I just don't take this personal. To Allah. Now, in concluding this, I'm coming to the conclusion now. Won't be long now. I say this to Muslims, but I hope, because I do have non-Muslims in my heart and in my focus as well, I hope that the non-Muslims will also identify with what I'm saying. If we want to see what is the urgency in the movement or the progress of Muslim life on this earth, I think we can see it in these concerns that we find in the Quran. The Quran addresses us and sensitizes us with its beauty, its language of beauty, its language of humanity, etc. It instructs us through our rational mind or through our reasoning ability or faculties, and at the same time, it moves the human life with its soothing and beautiful treatment of the issues. Especially of the human being and the human person's worth as a human person. In my opinion, it motivates us for good aspirations. Any Muslim in his Muslim nature, or when I say Muslim nature, I'm using the language and understanding that the Prophet gave us and the Quran gives us. I'm talking about in your good human side. In your good human life and nature, that any of you in your good human nature, you will identify with this request, that we be motivated or be moved to follow only good aspirations. Our own human soul pressures us. Our human nature presses us to reject bad or immoral or criminal aspirations. Be motivated for good aspirations only. That's number one. Be motivated for good involvements. Be motivated to get into good involvements. No immoral involvement. No criminal involvement. Be motivated by scriptural education. Not just this world's education. Scripture gives us an education. Scripture holds for us an education. The education for the journey of life. For progress on the road of life. Be motivated by support in Scripture that God has placed there and the prophet has helped us with his teachings or his addressing that knowledge or that support in Scripture. That support in Scripture for upgrading the rules guiding our thoughts to their conclusions. When we're thinking about what to do or where we should stand or what is the better judgment or what should be the choice, whenever we need to have our rational mind come into play and try to find right conclusions for us, we should be aware that God has revealed rules for our thoughts, guiding our thoughts to their conclusion. Now, if we don't have those rules that God wants us to have, then we have rules that Satan wants us to have. And Satan has ordered the glamorous world, the show life world. Satan has designed that to also impart to us, breathe out to us, whisper to us. That's what Scripture says. Whisper to us by hints and suggestions, by subtlety and subliminal language and pictures, rules for our thinking. And his rules are not consistent. Satan's rules are not consistent. The only consistency in the thinking that Satan gives us is that it all brings us to hell. All of his thinking brings us to hell. That's the only thing consistent about it. It brings us all to hell. But some of his thinking will make artificial rolls out of this sister and an abnormal penis out of that brother. Excuse the language. He just looks at figures. That's what Satan does. Satan looks at figures. Unless he imitates God's creation. I want this person to be a serpent. I want this person to be a fly. I want this person to be snake. I want this person to be a rabbit. I want this person to be a sheep. Yeah. He makes sheep too. I want this person to be a sheep. I want this person to be a combination of creatures. And he put together a combination. I want him to have a dog's nose, a bird's mouth. So he makes his creatures, right? He makes all his creatures. So the only thing consistent about it, look at all these strange odd things working and not in the pattern of nature. So the only thing consistent about it is they're all going to hell. Be motivated by Scripture to preserve our special dignity that God wants for us. This world interests us in images that we think is dignified. This world gives us pictures of our dignity. Let us consult God's word and let's see what God says is our dignity. And let us first establish ourselves in that dignity and then don't take on anything else that's contributing to our dignity unless it is in accord or compatible, acceptable in the edifice, in the dignified edifice God wants for us. These things to you may not sound very important, but they are most important for us to get our life back intact and have it complete. This dignity asks of us that we be responsible to self, to the Muslim self, to the self that God created and that God wants to evolve and progress to rise into position and authority over the selves that the world want us to be. The world wants us to be it. The world wants you to be a certain Joe or a certain Mary. The world wants you to be that. But God wants you to be the Mary he created you to be or the Joe he created you to be. You see? Well, let us find that dignity and find that human being, that human type that is common for all of us. That means that all of us, God wants all of us to be the same in that human picture. The same. One. That's the one man. That's many. That's the one people or the one couple. That's many. Let us all identify in that one excellent human picture that God wants us to be and have that human dignity that belongs to that human picture that God himself created to evolve and rise into power over all other pictures of us. To accept responsibility for ourselves. You know, Islam, I'm concluding this, Islam demonstrates this particular concern and interest when we see Muslims praying Sunnah prayers and no one leading them. Pray all together, follow an imam, and then he steps off and he prays his Sunnah prayers. And the Sunnah prayers are really the Prophet's prayers. Prayers that the Prophet did in addition to what God ordered or made compulsory. So what are these Sunnah prayers? Volunteer prayers that your own good human nature dictates. So the Prophet is the model of the human excellence in all of us. So we follow his example, his excellence. We follow his Sunnah. We follow his example, his excellence. So God ordered so many prayers, and he says, God told me to do that much, but I'm going to do more. Isn't that how a good child is to the parent? The parent says, clean up the kitchen. That's all. There are some children that's so good, so devoted to their parent, so conscious of the benefit that they're getting from their parents, and love their parents so much that they will clean the kitchen, go in the bathroom, and see it needs cleaning, and when the parent comes back, oh, you clean the bathroom too. Did a sunnah chore. And what does that say to us about God and about man? That God is so kind and merciful that he has not imposed upon you the limit of your capacity. And man is so good that he accepts more than what God asks of him. That his human nature goes further than what God's insistence is. His human nature insists that he do a bit more than even his God insisted that he do. Because he loves his God, appreciates his God so much. Say, well, thank you, God. Now I've done what you told me to do. But my heart is still moving me to say some more to you. I want to thank you some more. Start all over again. Allahu Akbar. Demonstrates the mercy and beauty of God and man. Isn't that wonderful? But for practical benefits now, where are the practical benefits? Here are the practical benefits. Our society is never to be dependent upon a clergy, a sheikdom,
That's right.
A caliph?
Yes.
Or a group of caliphs? It's dependent upon the common person. The common person in our society guarantees the future of our society. If all our leaders are absent, you all are potential leaders. And you all are taught how to do the prayer and lead the prayer. If you're not, it's because you haven't done it yet. You yourself take the initiative to learn how to do the prayers. If you can do the prayer for yourself, you can do it for every one of us. The prayer for one person is the prayer for all people. Ain't no two ways to do it. You can lead your own self in prayer, you can lead all of us in prayer. Done the same way. So this is saying to us that the government rests upon the common individual. That's what it says. And that's what a lot of our ignorant so-called leaders of Islam don't know. That our religion is the best democracy, and this world, the West, has just come into a certain dimension of the beauty of our own democracy. This democracy has a contradiction because it grants freedom to evil and good. Without punishing the evil and checking the evil. With effective means. You know, the punishment of evil in this country is really a mockery. It is a mockery. It's a mockery of justice. And don't think this is not the feelings of a great number of Americans. This is not just Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is not a black man's complaint. This is the complaint of a great number of American people, American citizens. So we should also accept the responsibility to lead the American people into a stronger and more beautiful democracy. It ain't through growing. It can be better. Doesn't mean that we will go and knock on doors and say, we heard you watching 16 millimeter hardcore pornography films. We're raiding this house. No, the Muslims will respect privacy more than this world respects privacy. We won't be breaking into your house to see if you not doing the dhikr right or something like that, or looking at the bottom of the human being instead of the head of the human being. That's up to you. If you want to be a freak in your own private quarters, we won't bother you. But don't impose that on our children and on our society. Now, if we accept what I've given so far, I think we're in good shape. So now I come to the last note I have here. And it is connected with what I just said about What was that? Find me. Here it is here on the other page. Finally, I had to go back. That we should be motivated by Scripture to prefer our special dignity. And that dignity includes being responsible to self. Or to one's own mind, we may say. To one's own mind. See, we don't want the common people being so gullible and so inactive mentally that they don't do nothing but wait for signals from their leaders to see if I should think differently or if this course that I'm on is okay. No, God has made all of us rational and arai. Arai means a shepherd for yourself with rational faculties. He made us all to be shepherds for ourselves, individual selves, with rational faculties. And this last concern that I bring to you is tied to that one. There's a demand on the human spirit for the expression of the individual's social dignity. Social dignity that God created us with. It's in our nature. It's inherent in us. And that soul, it knows that the full growth of the human life is not realized or won't be realized short of us having social dignity. Now, we can better understand the disappointment in our professional people when we see that they have achieved materially, financially, they have achieved academically, etc. But when it comes to the society that or the social group that they belong to, they are not satisfied and cannot be satisfied. See how God has created us with a nature where we, if we succeed and go out from our people and realize great accomplishments and being praised and recognized for great accomplishment, we will still be burdened if our people are behind us, poor and miserable, confused, and living in corruption or self-destruction that torments us, our social lots. It's a burden on us. It's a misery. It's an agony on us in our life. So it burdens us to come back to our social responsibility to not only establish social dignity for our one family, but social dignity for the family, the group family that we belong to. Islam prepares us for that. If you stay Muslim and to keep learning and educating yourself in the knowledge of the Quran, and in the knowledge of our Prophet's ways, his teaching and his ways of doing things, we are destined to one day, if not in this generation, soon to come into social dignity on this earth, in America, and in the eyes of the world. And I'm for working as hard for the social dignity of our people. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in the last years of his life, working to dignify us by getting material acquisition or material assets. He was desperately trying to do that to attract our people so that the poor of our kind will look to the Nation of Islam and say there's a chance with the Nation of Islam for us to come out of poverty. I'm as determined as he was to build the social image of our people, and if you stay with me, we're going to enjoy it. I don't think I may be old, but I think I'll still have enough hearing in the ears to hear you all tell me. Don't worry. We are well established socially, Brother Imam. Our families are in good shape. The majority of our families are in good shape. The statistics now are very favorable. We have enough Muslims and enough non-Muslims that in our black community, our African-American community, that has bought our ideas, have been motivated by our interests. The social establishment of the black man is very good, Brother Imam. And I'm going to raise this hand up Assalamu alaikum.
Join us next time for another public address by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American.
And feel like the power of this gift is for you.